Anyway, virtual reality has rapidly grown in popularity since its introduction in gaming consoles, but with recent developments, the technology is now being used for educational purposes through simulations. For example, in the wake of the recent Sydney bushfires, new virtual reality technology has been developed to simulate a bushfire scenario. The technology aims to emulate a pressure simulation where individuals can learn how to react in emergency situations. So, how does this affect the development of virtual reality technology? On the line with us now is Associate Professor John McGee, Director of the 3D Visualization Aesthetics Lab at the University of New South Wales. John, thank you so much for speaking to us this morning.
Hi, Tess. Thank you for having me on.
So, virtual reality has been floating around for a little while now. How long has the idea of using virtual reality as an educational tool been a thing?
That's a good question. I mean, as you say, virtual reality has been around for a bit. There was the first wave of VR that was around in the 90s, and it was used a lot of entertainment, but it sort of overpromised and underdelivered. But now we're in this sort of second wave of VR where the technology has become a lot maturer, and the cost of it's also dropped as well. And so we're now seeing a proliferation of the headsets, the virtual reality headsets, into lots of different areas. And as you say, education is one of them. But I think it's now reached a point where it's going to become ubiquitous, and they're going to see much more of it because the unit cost has really dropped down and it's becoming much more accessible.
And so the example that I've seen floating around this morning, as I mentioned, the bushfires, people can put the VR headset on and, you know, learn how to react in potentially emergency situations like a bushfire. What sort of scenarios would virtual reality, really make a difference for when it comes to educational situations?
The area that we've been working in is in healthcare. And simulating what it would be like to see inside your body in a much more engaging way. And I think there's some common sense to the sort of the reference you make to the bushfire simulations as well. And I think, you know, the headsets have got much better image fidelity, so you can see and feel like you're in a place. And the graphics quality is matured as well, so no longer does it look very clunky like it did in first wave VR. Now with the current graphics technology, the graphics cards, it's been able to push more pixels and give you a much, much better resolution so that when you put the headset on and you move your head around and you move around the environment that it's trying to simulate, you feel like you're actually there. And I think, you know, as the headsets continue to progress and more people buy them, we're going to see an immersion process when we put a VR headset on that's going to be hard to delineate from actual reality.
And so are there any major problems, I guess, with virtual reality being used in these sorts of situations? There's always some naysayers floating around.
Yeah, I mean, I think in lots of situations, certainly what we found in our work at UNSW is that, the headsets are tethered to a cable often. You get wireless ones and ones that can be untethered. But the graphics are limited on those ones. You're obviously tethered to kind of a space, but you can't move around too freely. And so we're hoping with the newer ones that there will be much more ability to move around and not be tethered to a cable. And I think that's coming. The other thing as well is when you reach out and try and touch something, so say you're in a bushfire or you're in a medical simulation, when you put your hand out and try to feel what's there, if you see an object in front of you, your hand just goes through that object virtually. And so having what we call haptic feedback, being able to feel and touch things, is one of the limitations at the moment. But I think we're seeing newer technology providers trying to fill that gap and improve that. I think things as well, like the image quality, as I mentioned, to feel like you're actually looking at something that's there, and the pixels on the resolution in the headsets are, they're getting there, but they're not quite as good as they need to be, because that screen that you look at when you're on that headset is right next to your eye. So any little discrepancies in that screen detracts from, you know, what a real situation looks like when you're in the real world and can become a distraction. So there are limitations in terms of touch, in terms of screen resolution. But I think, you know, give it a few years, these will be overcome and we'll have those solved.
It is some absolutely brilliant technology. Moving forward, I guess, you know, looking into the crystal ball a little bit, what sort of further developments do you think that we'll see from virtual reality as time goes on?
It's interesting. I don't think they're that far away. When we look to the crystal ball, we always think, well, is it going to be 10, 20 years in the future? And I think things are moving so fast that the future gazing is not too far away. But things, I think, that we will see, we'll see virtuality becoming, I think, more social. So that you're in with lots of people. You're not just in a VR headset wandering around on your own. But you'll be there connecting to other people and seeing other people and working collaboratively, whether it be in a simulation for training, or whether it just be because you can and you want to socialise and see people, and that's already happening. But I think that will improve significantly. I think the headsets will become less clunky technically. I think as they sell more units and they connect them to more compelling kind of applications, we're going to see hopefully an explosion of the number of headsets, which means they'll probably get smaller, much lighter, and I think like a lot of tech, though, well, it'll move into this phase, like we saw with smartphones, but they'll become quite fashionable and trendy. We'll see a proliferation of them into different uses where it'll be an accessory, not just a piece of technology.
It is a really exciting time. But John, thank you so much for your time this morning.
No problem. Thank you.
That was Professor John McGee, Director of the 3D Visualization Aesthetics Lab at the University.